Hello and welcome back to Real Horror Show. It's our special Halloween episode.
Right on. Hello everybody. Welcome.
Sam Odie, and once again I am joined by my co-host Stormy Skies.
Hello, that's
me. I'm actually not sure how well they can hear me with this plank, so I'm gonna go ahead and pause it.
I know. Okay. I feel like you like fade it out and make it be cool in the beginning with your magic tricks of how.
Since I actually had it playing over me, I probably won't be able to do that. But I like your thinking.
Yeah. You like that? I'm glad you like my thinking.
I do.
Oh man.
So today, instead of covering a movie that's available for streaming, we're going to cover one that I had to stream illegally because I don't own it on DVD. Ooh. We're talking about John Carpenter's classic Halloween, 1978.
Yes,
I mean, we're probably going to talk about the Rob Zombie remake just because it's unavoidable.
Just because I love it.
Fuck you. It's unavoidable.
It is unavoidable. I love that shit. I don't know why.
I mean, it's probably my favorite Rob Zombie movie. It's just, I don't know, when we get to more of the trivia discussion with this movie, I'll talk more about why I don't like it as a Halloween movie. Conceptual Halloween, not the holiday. I'm sure it's a great Halloween movie. Just not...
Yeah, great Halloween
not
movie.
Not a great Halloween movie.
Not traditional. Yeah, it's a great scary movie to watch on Halloween. I got you.
Just explaining it to our listener.
Yes. Well, where to begin with this classic of classics? What a fabulous, fabulous
film. I guess
film.
I could start with by just talking about it a bit for the one person listening who hasn't seen Halloween.
There's someone who hasn't seen the original, but they've seen Rob Zombie's remake. Or they've probably seen fucking Halloween 6 on TBS one time. Mm-hmm. So, go for
it. Oh, I love Halloween 6. That shit's fucking bad shit.
Which one is Halloween 6?
That's Curse of Michael Myers.
Curse of Michael Myers.
Which I will gladly talk about that because the, like, behind-the-scenes shit with that is nutty. In fact, if you watch the director's cut, I believe, which is really hard to find on DVD now, it's super rare. Mm-hmm. I have the original cut, the theatrical cut, but the director's cut is almost a different movie entirely. It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
But let me just talk a bit, reading directly from the Wikipedia page, as is tradition. Halloween is a 1978 American slasher film directed and scored by John Carpenter, co-written with producer Deborah Hill, and starring Donald Pleasance and Jamie Lee Curtis in her film debut. The film is the first installment of the Halloween franchise. In the film, on Halloween night, 1963, Michael Myers murders his sister in the fictional Midwestern town of Haddonfield, Illinois. He escapes on October 30th, 1978 from Smith Grove Sanatorium and returns home to kill again. The next day, Halloween, Michael stalks teenager Laurie Strode and her friends with Michael's psychiatrist. While Michael's psychiatrist, Dr. Sam Loomis, pursues his patient. I practiced that before. No, I
nice.
Didn't.
I mean, let's begin with one of the most amazing quotes from the movie. Evil has come to your little town, Sheriff. I think that's what he says. I mean, like, all hail Sam Loomis. I adore that man. So Donald Pleasance is just a fabulous, fabulous man. He is the most insane man. And he actually was, like, the most... he had the most screen time of any actor in the film.
I will say, the one thing Rob Zombie did an amazing job with is casting Malcolm McDowell as Sam Loomis in the remake.
Yeah. Really? Okay, wait. Okay, I agree, and then I disagree as well.
Why is that?
I agree because Malcolm McDowell's great, and I know you love him. But I disagree because of how he is portrayed, because he's, like, so mean and obsessed with himself.
Well, and obsessed are you with talking, fame. Are you talking about the original or Halloween 2? Because remember, I don't even think Rob Zombie wanted to do Halloween 2, but he kind of had
in
to.
In both he's like that, because in the first one, in the second one he wrote the book, but in the first one he's still an asshole. But, like, Sam Loomis as, like, Donald Pleasance is Sam Loomis, and, like, John Carpenter's, he's just like this, just like doctor who's very, very crazy and sarcastic, but he's not like mean, you know what I mean? Like so I like Malcolm McDowell as him, but I don't like how he does Sam Loomis.
But can you really blame Malcolm McDowell for that? Shouldn't the blame lie with the writer of the movie?
Yeah, it should, that's Zombie. What I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, he shouldn't have been written so like that. It should have been.
I mean, that's like saying you don't like his portrayal of Alex in the A Clockwork Orange movie because he portrays him as a rapist and a child psychopath, and that's how the character is written.
I know.
You can't always blame the actor for how the character comes across on screen.
I'm not blaming him. See, I like him as he's a great person to play him, but just how his character is written and how much it differs from the original character, I dislike.
Right. And so, even though I didn't take notes for this, because I know this movie pretty well, this was not the first Halloween movie I watched. I think I said in our episode 0 that Halloween 4 and 5 were the first ones I watched, and those two are kind of closer to my heart, because I watched them when I was 7 or 8, mm-hmm. and that's how old Jamie is in those movies, so I just had a closer relationship with those, because I could relate to the main character more. I didn't see this one until a little later. I was 8 years old, and my mom was like, oh, you have to see the original, so we went out and rented it, and it really did scare the piss out of me. There were times where I had to take a quote-unquote bathroom break to hide from the movie in the bathroom.
Nice. I love it.
But I think a huge credit has to go to John Carpenter's score. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the iconic horror movie score.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't, you know, editing these podcasts realize I say I mean a lot, and I notice a lot in my writing that I write it a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to break the habit.
It's okay.
I should give you like a Wi-Fi shock caller, so every time I say it, you shock me.
And I'm like, surprise, I'm still over here, and you're like, oh, fuck.
That could be a great bit for our podcast.
That could be a great bit. If someone wants to buy a shock collar for Sam, and then, like, a remote that somehow I can use it through the computer statewide, and it shocks her on time, like, we'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Anyway. Or, like, some sort of a digital
habit.
There's gotta be something. Anyway. Well, before we start getting into the score, let's go from acting to story to production, and, like, let's start with the acting and performance, if you want to, like, I took my notes out, like, based on the three main characters. So, like,
yeah,
and Michael Myers, Laurie, and Sam.
I'm seeing one of your notes, and we will get to it when we get to it, but I'm gonna argue with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't wait. Which one is it? Can you just put your cursor on it so I know? I won't say anything, though.
Because we'll get to it.
If you want to discuss the sequels, and we can.
Yeah, but we're talking about the first one.
We'll talk
about the sequels, because you kind of have to.
Yeah.
But in terms of the original, let's just not say what we're talking about.
Okay, well,
really obnoxious about.
No, no, no. We need to keep it a secret until it's time. Okay. Let's just acting so performance. Okay.
Let's talk about Nick. What's his face? I have the Wikipedia page. Let me. Nick Castle.
Hold up. Yeah.
Nick Castle plays him behind the mask. He is played by someone different.
Yeah, when they pull the mask off. It's the guy who played. He's credited as The Shape.
Yes.
The Shape. But Tony. Wait, who? Tony?
Nick Castle plays like Michael Myers walking around.
Yes, and then Tony Moran is.
The
Michael
face?
Myers, age 23. No, Nick Castle is The Shape, so Tony Moran is the person who is unmasked Michael Myers, like when he's unmasked for like 2 seconds.
Because I know they wanted to get someone else because his face doesn't look like the face of a psychopath.
No, it just looks like, oh, strange face.
Yeah.
So. That's like weird. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
But,
what about him?
Michael Myers is just, he's a great character. For a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Because John Carpenter's intention with this character when writing the movie was to make him unrelatable. That's why he's referred to as having, like, empty eyes, the eyes of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues I take with the remake, the 2007? Mm-hmm.
2007 and 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, so 2007 is the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's because Rob Zombie tried to make Michael Myers a relatable character, try to give him a backstory, but that's not what made him
scary
in the first place, right?
Yeah.
He was scary because he was this way, and they couldn't find a reason to explain it. Like, Rob Zombie's bullied kid who goes on a killing rampage. That's a story that's been told time and time again.
Uh-huh.
That's what fucking Carrie
like
is.
A broken family and stuff like that. And
yeah.
All that. And, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it's not a good Rob Zombie movie. It's just he kind of missed the point in who Michael Myers was supposed to be. And I understand that as the sequels go on in this original Halloween franchise, we get to know Michael better and get to know his point, which is one of my favorite parts of The Curse of Michael Myers.
Great.
Because the theatrical cut doesn't go into this too much, but it's like some kind of cult and he's the chosen one to do this, and it's
a special tattoo on his arm or whatever.
It's so fucking crazy. You gotta like read up on The Curse of Michael Myers if you don't know the difference between the director's cut and the theatrical cut.
But you
gotta talk about the mask, because I love like the story behind the mask. This movie was made on a budget of $300,000. It was an independent movie, one of the most successful independent movies of all time, even today, because it grossed $47 million in the U.S. box office, $70 million worldwide. So it's the most successful indie movie of all time, and the mask they got was a $2 Captain Kirk mask from the drugstore.
Are you reading my notes or notes from IMDb?
I'm talking out of my ass right now. I'm making all of this up.
Yeah, they found two masks. The first one was going to be like a clown mask, but then they used the William Shatner one. They spray painted it white, and then boom, legendary.
So the man we've all been afraid of.
It's the Star Trek guy.
It's William Shatner. We're scared of William Shatner.
Only from Star Trek. That's the only reason why they had the mask. They're like, do you want to be somewhat Captain Kirk from Star Trek? Yes.
But how different would this movie have felt if they had gone with the clown mask? I'm sure it would still feel creepy,
it wouldn't be as inherently creepy. It would be too in-your-face disturbing. You know what I mean? Like, that mask just makes it... It gives Michael all the more emptiness that he's supposed to
and
have.
That's why the white mask ended up working so well.
Yes.
Is it really represents this emotionless psychopathic killer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And like to amp up Michael's character, there are so many sequels because like Sam Loomis like says it so many times about how like he's just pure evil and like he can't be killed. It almost goes, you know, goes to show how, like how the other, you know, like big time serial killers can't die because they're evil, like Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees. But like Michael is different in the fact that he's evil and he can't die. Like he has no motive. The other two kind of do. But like you said, there is no backstory. He's just, he kills at a young age. No one knows why. And that's what makes him terrifying because he's just a little kid and he kills his sister. He goes away. There's no story whatsoever about his time in the hospital, only that he breaks out. He can drive. So he drives away and he drives back to Haddonfield, you know, to kill on Halloween. It's just, but people just, they like to, you know, compare him to the other serial killers, but
he's totally different.
Ultimate. He's totally different, and he's the ultimate killer. And he cannot die. That's why there's so many sequels.
I mean, Freddy has motive.
Yes, and yeah. And so does Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, I was about to get to that. Don't interrupt.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm playing
with... This isn't about Jason.
I'm also...
about Michael.
I'm adjusting my gain because I have a new Blue Yeti and
okay.
David got the gain working again.
Nice.
But I'm coming through really loud and it's picking up a lot of white noise. And this is just behind the scenes talk nobody cares about.
Right.
But we don't have a real studio. I'm in Virginia. Stormy is in Pittsburgh and we are recording in our bedrooms, I presume.
I'm in my living area / where my desk is.
Well, I also, it's like the air doesn't circulate in my room very well. I don't know why. So it gets so hot, but I have to record with my door closed and with my windows closed because...
Dude, yeah, my air is off.
We're like 5 feet from the train tracks, so if a train comes through, the microphone would pick it up.
Oh, jeez.
You get used to it after a while. It's just...
I see.
I'm lazy and I'm already editing out so much white noise right now for our episode coming out this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Because this comes out Halloween weekend.
Ooh, it does.
While I'm partying and winning a costume contest, that means absolutely nothing.
Wait, who are you dressing as?
As long as we can get the pieces, David is going to be BoJack and I'm going to be Todd from BoJack
Really?
Horseman.
Yeah. Me and Luke is going to be Richard Harrow from Boardwalk Empire and I'm going to be a flapper from the 20s.
Yeah.
As long as we can find the mask that he, like, we need to find a mask with a closed mouth and we can cut around it and he can paint it. But that's, like, really fucking hard to find. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
let's
move on to Lori. Why don't we just, like, move right on to just, like, the first point I have here because since you have... Let's have a little discussion about that.
Story. She is not his sister in the first movie. It is never established in the first movie that she is his
sister. Yes, it's not established, but you and I both know that when she finally comes back and she's an adult and it's Laurie Strode, she's the sister. She definitely is.
Yes, it's revealed in the second movie.
Yeah, it's revealed. There we go.
But lest we forget, John Carpenter did not write the second movie, did he? No, he didn't direct it, but I don't know if he wrote it or not. We're good at this podcast.
It's a cool, I mean, well, I guess it's scary enough that he's just after, you know, a bunch of babysitters, but it kind of gives you, like, an idea of, like, why he's after Lori, because it seems like she's kind of the end game.
I think she's the end game only because he was in the house when she walked up to put the key under the mat, so he kind of marked her from that.
That's a good point to make. Yeah.
She's the one who trespassed on his property, so he's after her for that reason. How would he even know that's his sister? Because by Rob Zombie's...
he's special. He's special.
No, he's not even... he's not even established to have weird psychic connections with his family until the fifth movie when he gets this weird psychic bond with Jamie.
I know, freaky.
So the reason he's stalking her and her friends is because Laurie walked up onto his porch.
And now he likes her. He likes her now. Yes. I think he actually likes her.
That
in real life.
That is the only reason He is after her.
But we all know. But if we want to, you know,
if this was the only movie,
if it was the movie I watched, then
out of the franchise,
I would take away my comment about explanation. Incest, but
okay, there's not even incest.
But listen, if we want to continue
what is it with you and incest?
There is no incest, but there kind of is, because in the
please explain.
Well, in the one movie, see, I got all my movies mixed up. You're gonna have to help me with this. The one where they're in the hospital most of the time, I think it might be Halloween 6.
That's number 2.
Number 2?
Yeah, number 2 takes place in the hospital. No one is going to take us seriously.
Listen, it's the one where, you know, the one girl, I think it's Jamie, she has a child.
Yes, that's 6.
That's 6, okay. That's why I said 6, not 2, Sam. Fuck's sake, you're making me confused. Okay, there's kind of like a lore backstory that the child is Michael's to keep like the bloodline clean. You never heard that?
I did not get that at all. I just got that because it shared the blood of Michael Myers, because he is her niece. He's the next child to continue the thing. Bro. I don't think it's Michael's baby.
Then whose baby is it?
That's going with the Rob Zombie logic that he's also a rapist. And I will not accept that canon that Michael Myers is also a rapist, because he's an asexual
psychopath. Is he a rapist?
Psychopath. In Rob Zombie's, in the sequel to Rob Zombie's Halloween, he rapes Annie.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he does. Damn. I haven't seen that for
and
like 2 years.
And I will not accept that logic.
Holy shit.
I think. I think Jamie just...
Well, you know, it's like it didn't adult. Even happen. I totally forgot about it.
She's an adult in Halloween 6.
Yeah.
I think she went to college, made a few mistakes because she's fucked up in the head because her uncle kept trying to kill her and killed her stepsister and killed her nanny or whatever the fuck she was. Jamie's all fucked up, got drunk, had drunk sex, got pregnant, and now Michael wants that baby because the cult that they're a member of needs a male... with his blood to continue the legacy. Speaking of his family, what the fuck happens to his parents after he kills his sister?
They just go away. Because they don't have time for the shit.
Like, I realized that
watching
this
movie. They're socialites.
This was the first time I watched this movie in a really long time, and I'm bringing up a lot of issues I am suddenly finding with the continuity.
There's a lot of continuity errors. Lots of it.
Where did his parents go? Like, his parents are the ones who discover him.
They were at the
him,
Halloween party, and they came home later.
I know, but where are they at the Halloween party during his return to Haddonfield, or did they just move away?
I don't
away?
Think they're there anymore. They just probably left. Or they're dead. Maybe they were really, okay. really old, and we just couldn't tell. I mean, they're kind of old, but, like, also, they weren't wearing Halloween costumes. They're just, like, dressed in, like, business casual attire. So I'm like, what kind of Halloween party were you at? Because you weren't at work, because it's nighttime, so, you know. Who knows? Who knows? They're not important, clearly. You're on the screen for 20 seconds. Anyway. Well, you know, if you want to dispute my theories about the incestual relationship between Jamie and Michael Myers, tweet at me. Or if you believe me, tweet at me. If you heard that theory, tweet at me. And Sam.
And I'll tell them right now. They're all fucking
at
wrong.
@realhorrorshow_pod. Thank you very much.
Oh. We just got a new follower.
What? Really?
Yeah, on the Twitter. I get text alerts to whenever we get new followers.
Well, fabulous.
We got like 3 today.
Oh, sweet. I'm going to keep...
Pretty sure they're all just other podcasters, not actual
that's
listeners.
Fine.
So
that's okay.
It's fine. We promote them. They promote us. It mutual masturbation.
Yeah. So continuing on with Laurie Strode's character...
And no, Jamie Lee Curtis is not the original Scream Queen Stormy.
Who's the original Scream
you
Queen?
You write it... Her mother, Janet Leigh, and
Psycho. Excuse me. Jamie Lee Curtis is a whole new generation of Scream Queen.
But that doesn't make her the original.
I know, but how many thriller movies was Janet Leigh in? A bunch or just
know.
Psycho?
I don't even... Probably a
really?
Few. I don't know. Alfred Hitchcock enjoyed his
he
women
did enjoy
and
his
used
women.
Them a lot. Yes, that sounds so wrong. He loved Grace Kelly... And used Grace Kelly in almost any movie he made.
No, she was in a lot of
when
weird
she...
movies. So she was in, like, Touch of Evil, The Fog, Psycho, lots of stuff.
Your camera's not on, so you can't see me flipping off the microphone right now.
My camera's on, but I can't see you because your camera's off.
Oh, my camera's not on, so you can't see me. I hope you can hear me flipping off the microphone right now, though.
Yeah, I can hear you move your finger like that in that way because it makes that certain noise.
Good.
But yeah, that's why John Carpenter hired her, because he wanted to pay homage to Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, and another little Easter egg. I'm not sure how intentional it was, but the movie they're watching during babysitting is The yes! Thing, and he would remake that movie in like 5 years after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah, The Thing, yeah. Heck yeah. Glad you caught that.
Of course I did.
Well, do you want to dispute that after this movie, her career, especially in horror, exploded, and she was in a lot horror movies?
This was her first movie, so of course it exploded.
Boom! But then, like, horror for her, like, she was
you,
in,
but
like,
you know,
prom night.
You know what's not... I'll bring up my point about prom night in a second. But, you know what isn't exploding about Jamie Lee Curtis
what?
Today? Her bowels.
Oh, yeah, because she's the Activia girl.
Because she does the Activia.
Have you seen her in Scream Queens, like, the TV show on FX?
It's on Fox. I've only seen... The first
it was
episode
canceled,
I was planning.
But she's in it, and she's great.
Yeah, I was planning on becoming a dedicated watcher to that, but it was the first show I tried watching after living life in college and only streaming stuff, and it's really hard to go back to normal television.
I kind of dropped off after the second season started, because I like couldn't try to keep up with doing it, because it was too
See, I'm just,
dull.
I'm over... Ryan Murphy in general.
Ryan Murphy needs to stop trying to make, like, shit that's not American Horror Story. And American Horror Story is kind of, like, becoming a chore. So.
See,
how do you feel about this season?
I'm not watching it. I dropped off that after.
Well, good, because Roanoke was a pile of flaming shit.
See, my theory about Ryan Murphy is his shows are usually good.
Right.
For the first three seasons, at least, and season three will usually be the best season of television you will ever see in your life. That's how it was with Nip Tuck. Correct me if I'm wrong, listener at home, but I believe season three of Nip Tuck was when they had the Carver storyline, which was this psychopath who didn't kill people, but he cut up their faces, particularly those who had had plastic surgery in the past.
Oh, what a waste.
In that season... That season is so fucking good, and then it just plummets after that. And I feel that's how a lot of his shows are. I think American Horror Story squeaks by a lot better than the other ones, because it's not a linear storyline each season.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to worry so much about the character development that a certain character made, meaning nothing the next season since you're starting from scratch. But with that, I think it's still just a problem he has. I think he gets burned out really fast as a writer and showrunner. And I definitely got that vibe when we got to Roanoke.
Well, he's also doing American Horror Story. No, American Crime Story.
American Crime Story.
Well, the first one was good, but the next one's going to be like the Versace thing.
Oh, I don't know about
that. It's like the assassination of... Versace or whatever, and I was like, great, I'll learn a lot this time around, you know, but I learned a lot when I watched the OJ one.
I still need to watch that. I don't have Netflix at the moment. I'm using David, so I'm trying not to, like,
do too much,
give him my weird recommendations.
Right.
He doesn't mind, because we have a joint Hulu account now that we're watching.
Okay.
But,
anyway.
Since he's not super into horror like I am, he'll watch it. He did really like Gerald's Game when we watched it.
And who is this? Oh,
David.
Okay. Yeah.
My
know.
Man.
Yeah, I thought that you might have said another name, and I was like, well, who else, you know, like, who doesn't like horror?
Yeah.
I got you.
He's a forensic chemist. I'll explain this for the people at home. So he took a lot of criminal justice and forensic classes to get his degree.
Nice.
So even while we were watching Gerald's Game, he had to pause on a like part where you could see Gerald's body closely, because he was like, this is going to bother me if I don't check it out. And he was like, oh, they actually got the decomposing corpse look right.
Did they get the handy glove look right? Because that was some real shit.
He doesn't do gore like that.
I should have asked.
It's just a detail that no one else would notice, but he would. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever we watch something and they're doing a chemistry experiment and they're not wearing goggles, he'll be like, which I will too, because that's a very obvious oversight a lot of film people make. Like, come the fuck on. You're not allowed to be in the lab without closed-toed shoes. Why aren't they wearing their goggles?
Their goggles.
But for Gerald's game, he paused on a part where you could see the whole body in the daylight, and he's like, oh, they actually got the underside pink and the top part pale, because you see, when a body's lying in a certain position, or whatever side they're lying on when they die, the blood's going to drain to that side, and that'll be the pink side, and the rest of it will be pale. But they got it right.
Yeah!
David, literally no one else would give a shit. He's like, no, but I do. David. And I expect Stephen King to know those details.
That's right. We need David to, like, put in his two cents every time there's, like, a movie like that with that kind of, like dead body sequences to make sure he checks it out. So we can, like, call people out.
He and I have talked about just having, like, a random page on the website called David's Comments, where I just write the shit he David's says for Corner. Any movie we're watching, even if it's not a horror movie.
It should be
movie.
Called David's Chemistry Corner, but it'll just be about, like, him debunking if, like, the bodies are right or not in, like, certain movies.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's...
Yeah. And I think one of the things that really turned him off to gore is for the night class he was taking, my senior quote-unquote year and his junior year. We were in school at the same time, but I graduated a year early because I'm super smart. They actually watched a video of a full autopsy. Mm-hmm. And he said he was fine when they were just cutting open the stomach and examining the organs, but then they have to cut open the head to pull off the top of the skull. And when you pull off the top of the skull from the brain, it makes a popping noise. And that's when he almost threw up.
Really?
Because he couldn't handle that suction cup noise of the skull being pulled off of the brain.
Ah, interesting.
But that's a small detail that hopefully horror movies can get right.
Yeah.
Because I guess it would be a suction cuppy.
Right.
Type thing. That's gross. Anyway, Sam Loomis, the crazy psychopath.
I love Sam Loomis. He is my favorite character. I just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed Donald Pleasance. Mm-hmm. He's just the fucking crazy doctor guy in a trench coat who shouldn't be carrying a gun. But he's got one.
Yeah. And it's so sad how he passed away before Halloween 20 years later, I hope. Since John Carpenter's very heavily involved with the now alternate reality sequel, I hope they do a little dedication to Donald Pleasance, because he was just such a huge...
He was a delight.
Yes. He is a huge part of this franchise, and he just... He's who you think of, the Holy Trinity, Michael Myers, Laurie Strode, and Sam Loomis.
Yeah. And he's a delight, and he's just, he's got the best one-liners in he's the one who says most of the memorable lines in the film. And my notes on him are pretty straightforward. I always call him the real hero of the film because he's the only one who gets shit done. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are cops everywhere in Haddonfield, but, like, they really don't do anything. And they kind of don't believe him until he like, yells at the sheriff to, like, do these things. And he's like, all right, I'll do it, you know. But he's got a gun. I don't know who gave him that, but he probably shouldn't have it. But it's good that he does. And he is hilariously sarcastic in, like, every line he delivers. My favorite line he says, it's not even in this one, I think it's in the sequel. He says, I shot him 6 times, he's not human, which is... It cracks me up every time. He just shouldn't have a gun, because he actually kills a lot of people in the sequel. He just kills, like, bystanders. But, like, it's okay because he gets away with it because it's Sam Loomis. He's the doctor, so it's all right if he accidentally kills somebody dressed in a Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Oh, Sam Loomis.
It's tragic that he just died of natural causes, or I think it was natural causes. He was old.
He was already old in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. And he's... the character's another unique staple to the Halloween franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of Friday the 13th and even Nightmares on Elm Street, the sequels could stand on their own as movies. Because in each of those movies, they kind of go into the backstory. Like, Friday the 13th, you'll always have, like, the kids sitting around the campfire telling the story of the massacres that happen at Camp Crystal Lake.
Camp Blood. It's called Camp Blood, Sam, because there are so many deaths.
Ooh. Sowie.
It's okay.
Should I drop the sewing needle? I'll find it later when it stabs my foot.
God.
But you don't have a character that really connects the movies together in those franchises the way you do with Dr. Sam Loomis.
Exactly.
So.
It kind of wouldn't be the same without having him there.
No.
But in the other movies... It's you're right, it wouldn't matter if there was one or not. I mean, I'm sure it would, like, you know, make it cooler and stuff, and, you know, but...
You have crossover in Nightmare on Elm Street with Heather showing up. Nancy, we just talked about Wes Craven's new nightmare, so I'm still calling her Heather. But Nancy shows up in the second one, third one.
Okay.
And then, I guess with Friday the 13th, you have...
I'm trying to think.
I can never... who fucking remembers the lead girl's name in Friday the 13th? She's in the second one, but she gets killed off pretty quickly.
Is she, like, the lone survivor in the canoe at the end? Yes. I don't fucking know what her name is.
That's one of the main issues. Her name? It's one of the issues.
I feel like we just started with her name. Friday
the
13th.
Let's just change the name of the podcast to shit on Friday the 13th.
I know, right? I'm about to see it tomorrow, actually. Because it's Friday the 13th tomorrow.
Nice. I wonder if anywhere around here is showing Friday the 13th. I should check the Radford Theater. But let's see. Let's move on to story and writing.
Do let's.
Okay.
All right. I only made like two fucking bullet points for this one.
The story's so simple, there's not a whole lot to analyze, because this is the first movie. I think John Carpenter had it in his mind that it was going to be a standalone movie, so he just focused on the aspect of babysitters being stalked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, it's pretty scary. I mean, like, babysitters are trying to watch the kids, but oh no, someone's going to come around and try to kill you because you're babysitting. Ugh.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest urban legends since the existence of the telephone. You know, babysitter gets a phone call. She has the phone call traced by the police. The police call her back, and they're like, the call is coming from inside the house.
Oh my god, enough about the call from inside the house shit.
No.
Damn it. I know it's scary, but jeez.
But no.
I'm gonna call you from inside the house.
The whole babysitter getting stalked is one of the oldest urban legends in American history. I mean, not the oldest, because telephones have only been around and babysitting has only been a concept since children were a concept.
When were children a concept, exactly, Sam?
Not, like, small human beings were a concept.
Wow.
But since the idea of childhood and teenagehood were concepts, because those weren't really things until the modern era. Like, you pretty much skipped being a teenager and went straight to adulthood, and even children were not dumb enough, were smart enough to be left alone in the house while the parents walked away for 10 minutes.
Right.
So the whole concept of babysitting is very new to society, is what I'm getting at. Because children and teenagers are new concepts in our collective societies.
Uh-huh.
Western societies, at least.
Great.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Story. I have the IMDb trivia page. You talk about the story while I go ahead and check and see if there's anything interesting.
Well, it's a great... Like, the story overall is great because it happens over the span of... 2 days, technically, because it's October 30th, and then, like, the 31st, Not like not including the beginning, like point of view montage of like Michael as a kid. To start, it's a fabulously scary idea to come up with, you know, Michael Myers being a child, but he's a killer. However, they don't know why, and they can't figure out why, so they just put him away. And then we kind of don't know what happens after that. Just that he's come back, and he's after people, and it's also scary that there's just that that time difference where only a few, like only Dr. Sam Loomis knows how dangerous he is, and the fact that he's escaped and has returned home, it kind of doesn't faze anyone. They don't even know he's there, except Sam, and Sam knows that he's just gonna fucking kill everybody if they go and, you know, walk on his porch. Also, another thing is the fact that it is Halloween and they do put him in a mask. It's a cool concept because he is among other people in, you know, costumes. So it also it gives people that kind of inert fear of like, what if I, you know, go out and I go trick or treating and one of these people that's in a mask is a killer, but they're just dressed up because everyone else is, and it'd be abnormal if they weren't, you know, mm-hmm. just that kind of idea as well. Just all put together is great. Little right. details.
All right. So let's address the kind of problematic aspect of the story writing. Mm-hmm. I hate using the term problematic. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. This was the horror movie that started the whole "the virgin lives at the end" concept. You can't have sex or smoke or drink or do drugs in a horror movie because you'll die. The whole thing that
or say was, you'll be right back.
Yeah, that was really officially established in Scream. But
Wes Craven established that shit, okay? But it's because they
it's because it existed in this movie. It's
hello,
because
exactly.
We wouldn't have that scene in Scream.
Scream is
this
like a
movie.
Tribute to Halloween because they're obsessed with that shit.
Yes, but John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, the writers of this movie, they never intended for that to be the case. Right. John Carpenter, according to the IMDb trivia, mm-hmm. said the reason all the horny teens die is because they're preoccupied with getting laid and getting drunk, which makes sense. When you're distracted by other things, you're not going to notice the scary guy behind the closet door. And
Lori's just too aware of her situation to be in danger.
As an adult, even though I'm waiting to have sex until marriage, like a good girl,
What?
Sorry.
Seriously?
I didn't think that would make me laugh. Okay.
Is that funny?
I will say I appreciate how,
I appreciate your jokes.
How the teenage sex in this mm-hmm. movie is accurately done in real time, I feel.
Because it takes like 20 seconds each time.
Yes, because Judith Myers goes upstairs with her boyfriend and
oh my god, that is a continuity error if there ever was one.
In the 3 minutes that it takes for Michael to go into the kitchen, get a knife, he's already like leaving.
He's already dressed. He's like dressed and walking upstairs like, alright, deuces. And it's like, alright. What?
It's like, yeah, I guess.
They just have sex or they just like go upstairs to just like do a lap up and down the stairs for like to get their steps in. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Like, it's implied they had sex because Judith is naked and he's getting dressed, but it took like a minute for them
fucking
to finish.
Judith. Yeah, I know.
And then the sex scene with Bob and Linda. Like, yes. I didn't realize you actually saw them have sex pretty much the entire, like, process of them doing it and him finishing, but that was like 2 minutes and
not even
and then she's like, oh, that was fantastic, and it's like,
girl please,
we know you're lying, we saw how it went down
we know you're lying.
And I'm like, because I didn't notice that, because like I said, it's been a few years since I've seen this movie. Mm-hmm. And I assume that sex is supposed to last longer than that, right?
I guess.
Yes, you know, Sam. I'm waiting until marriage to have sex.
Maybe they drank too many beers and then they're just that.
True.
I don't know, because after every time they have sex, they just like, go give me a beer, so it's like...
It's Halloween, you know, and they're teenagers in the 70s.
Why don't they want to do any Halloween stuff? Like, all they want to do is have sex. Like, don't they do anything else? Is it, maybe, is that the only night of the fucking year that they can get together? I don't understand it.
I know, and
it seems like the way they, like, want it so much, it's, like, the only time of the year they can, like, see each other outside of school.
And shut the fuck up about Paul. Oh my god, Paul, if I was Annie's friends, yeah. I would not put up with all that discussion of Paul.
She loves Paul.
I know, but does she have to say his name every 30 seconds?
Does she have to sing songs about him? Paul.
I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, the dudes are just pretty much useless in this movie.
So are the girls, except for Lori. I mean, Jesus Christ. Annie pawns Lindsay off on Lori 10 minutes into babysitting.
Yeah, I know. But, like, if we want to talk about the script writing, can we talk about, like, the fact that, like, they say the word totally, like, way too many times?
It's the 70s. They have to.
And then also...
It was contractually obligated to preserve the word totally in film in the 1970s.
Can we also discuss how the way Annie says Lindsay's name and just, like, the way she does it?
Lindsay!
Lindsay! Get this dog away from me, Lindsay! And I'm like, if she says Lindsay one more fucking time, I'm gonna
Holy
scream.
Shit, the dog. Until that dog showed up on screen, I forgot that Michael Myers actually kills a dog in this movie.
Should I add that to the kill count?
Does it count? Yeah, totally.
Alright, so we have like a kill count.
That was unintentional.
Nine?
No, but going back to the whole teenage debauchery gets you killed thing, I mean, This was the movie that kind of established that trope, and I don't find it nearly as problematic as it is in Friday the 13th, once again, going back to our favorite franchise to shit on. I love Friday the 13th.
Right.
Fantastic horror franchise.
Of course.
It's so silly.
It's too much, because, like, if we want to talk about, like, teenagers deserving to die because they're obnoxious, like, antics, it's Friday the 13th. It's not Halloween.
I think it's just so over the top in those movies compared to Halloween, because they're getting killed because they're doing those things. It's just, it's not a coincidence.
No.
That, like, these kids got killed because, it wasn't because they were drinking and stuff, it's because
they were easy prey.
Right, and it was just a coincidence that they happened to be doing that. I mean, Lori wasn't doing that, but Michael Myers went for her as soon as he could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's not as heavy-handed as Friday the 13th, where it's, if you're doing these things, you're bad, and you deserve to die.
Jason's gonna
get
you because he can hear you, you know? He's, like, listening for that, especially.
It's, I mean, they even make a joke about it in Jason X, where the simulated campers...
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, want to do some pot and
beers? Do you want to
premarital sex?
Yes. Oh my god, yeah. And he kills them by, like, he like puts them in the sleeping bag and hits them against the tree and they die. What a great killing scene. What a great kill overall.
I fucking love Jason X.
First prize Jason kill goes to that movie.
I'm so glad they only made Michael Myers a cult leader and never sent him to space. I'm just going to say that with any horror movie franchise we...
Just you wait. They might send him to space in a couple years, okay? They haven't had enough Michael Myers.
Thank God they never sent Jaws to space.
Jaws to... Sharks in space. How terrifying. Oh, God. Space sharks. Wow. Anyway.
Speaking of space sharks, I really hope they go to space in the next Sharknado.
Okay, let's talk about this one bullet point I wrote. I
bring up Sharknado
and
you're just...
And I just shut that shit down.
You're not having
it. Good night. I'm not having any of that.
All right.
Sharknado's on Netflix. I, like, rue the day whenever it's going to be time for us to watch it.
I fucking love Sharknado.
I guess this is a first time for everything, though.
Greatest franchise ever. Anyway, continue.
So, Michael Myers dresses up for Halloween, so he's in a costume.
Mm-hmm. He's a child?
Yeah,
or are you talking about adult
Michael Myers? No, adult Michael Myers. So, like... His costume is the auto body guy's costume.
Yes.
And the Halloween pranks would be him taking Judith Meyer's headstone away. Or is it his mother's headstone? Is it Judith
Meyer's
headstone?
It's Judith.
His sister's? Okay. So, and then he takes it and he puts it in, like, Lori's room with Annie's body. Mm-hmm. Would you consider that something of a Halloween prank? Because people do like to dig up graves for Halloween pranks, because that was, like, a thing. Or like to dig shit up in the graveyard for fun.
Well, soapbox, fuck you and all your friends if you're assholes who steal headstones from graves.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
But, I could see where you might get the idea that it's a prank, and that's a good, like, theory. I'm not sure if I would personally call it a prank. I think it's just him being psychotic doing it.
I agree. That's what I think as well.
Then again, it is kind of a psychotic prank to pull. I don't know.
Aha.
I think you could definitely interpret it as his childlike, demented spirit.
Got them wheels a-turning.
Because he would mentally still be a child.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, he kind of stopped growing at 6 years old mentally.
Right. Mentally, but, like, physically.
So
he was,
that
like,
does
six
explain
foot five.
Why he would dress up and why he would pull a quote-unquote prank.
Mm-hmm.
Also, story-wise, something else that bothers me now.
Yes, of course.
Watched it. When she tells Tommy and Lindsay to go call the police at the McKenzie's house.
Yes.
Why doesn't she go with them?
Because she's too busy chilling.
Like, she's just chilling. Like, there's no reason. She shouldn't just let the kids leave when she knows there's a killer in the house. What if he's not alone? She should go with them and get out of the house, because she doesn't know if he's actually dead.
That's true. I mean, like, well, the only reason I would say she would do that is because she...
To get an extra scare?
To get an extra scare, but also she probably assumes that Michael Myers is, like, following her, so wherever she goes, he's gonna, like, follow wherever the kids go, and she, I don't know, she wants to, like, separate the lock from the key.
Maybe.
Also,
I suppose.
Speaking of Scream, the very, like, first thing in the movie that what's her face, Casey Becker's parents say after she's dead, the husband tells the wife, like, run down to the McKenzie's, call the police. And I was like, yo, everything is just, like, a huge, huge homage to Halloween and Scream. Like, Wes Craven was obviously a huge Halloween fan. Stealing lines. Also, you know.
Of course.
He wasn't above it.
I mean, we wouldn't have the slasher genre if it weren't for Psycho, but we wouldn't have the modern slashers that we all know and love today if it weren't for Halloween. Because looking at it, I was thinking about this today. If Halloween didn't exist right now, if that franchise never came out in 1978, there's no way a slasher movie like it would do well at the box office today.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Because this movie, $300,000, there are little to no gore effects in this movie.
I know.
And it's something you don't notice watching it as a kid, but looking back at it, like how we are now as big horror fans.
Yeah.
Very little gore effects. There's, like, the obvious red food dye and cornstarch effects, but
corn syrup.
Thank you. Corn syrup and, red food dye effects, yes. But nothing so over the top.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing at all.
And it works, and it's what I keep telling theater directors when I send them my play is, yeah, I know there's a bloody murder on stage, but remember, Halloween didn't have any gore effects.
Yes. I mean, also, I love the fact that Michael Myers never is running at you. He's walking at you. Yes. And, like, the whole, and people, I know that there's people who, like, can't really get through the movie because they're like, oh, well, it's kind of boring, and they're kind of, like, you know, ready for, like, crazy shit to happen from the get-go. But it's, like, you gotta build up to that whole, it's, like, that whole 90 minutes
It's such a realistic horror film.
Oh, yeah. Because. So stalker. It's stalking. Yeah. So,
yeah,
like,
even
realistic,
if you're killing someone a la Saw style.
Yeah.
A person doesn't have buckets and buckets of blood gushing out of them.
No.
It's
the only blood you see is, like, when he cuts, like, Lori's arm or some shit, you know?
Yeah,
like,
and
maybe
you see
a tiny bit.
You see a little bit when he kills his sister.
Annie. Oh, so, yeah, his sister.
And then I could have swore you saw more when he killed Annie, because he slits her throat, right?
Yeah, he does, because he's, like, choking her and then he slits her throat. Maybe a little bit, but the thing is, it's so dark, too, that you can't tell.
Yeah, that's just trick of the lighting, how you can get away with not having the gore effects.
Right.
I guess what I'm thinking of is probably Halloween, too, because you do see them take her body out and there's blood around her neck.
Yeah.
But yeah, not
like in Rob Zombie's Halloween when he kills Annie and like it's like fucking blood everywhere.
Can we just not talk about Halloween 2? Rob Zombie didn't even want to make that movie. And
that movie is insane.
People are trying to defend it now as like a good representation of
PTSD. Hey, I love that shit. I love that movie.
And
it entertains me.
And I'm just going to say, if your PTSD manifests itself in the way Laurie Strode's does, I'm suffocating you with a pillow. Is that problematic? Am I going to get...
Suffocating me with a pillow.
It's just... They're constantly screaming at each other.
I know, like, that's the only thing I don't like about it. You know how I am with my gore, Sam. And he does it very, very well when he does do it, alright?
You're a gore whore, and it's fine.
I don't like when Lori's fucking screaming constantly. Because that's all she does in the movie, is just, like, scream.
It's like, good morning, Laurie.
I'm like, shit. Can we just calm the fuck down for a second here? Like, simmer down? Anyway, let's move on to production.
One thing, another thing I saw, can't unsee, can't get past, don't pull this alternative universe shit with me, Stormy.
Yes.
It is October in Illinois, and the leaves of the trees are still green.
Okay, here, look at this. I think I made like a...
I fucking get that it was filmed in L.A.
It was
$300,000.
Look at where my thing is. Go back.
I'm not even
looking
at the thing. I'm looking at Twitter.
The film was made in the spring. For any questions regarding how green the greenery looks, boom. It wasn't even on Halloween, Sam. It was in the spring.
Okay, I don't give a shit. I expect a little effort to be made to make it look like a Halloween.
You know how hard it was for them to get pumpkins? Apparently it was very hard to procure them because
And I know that the only reason there are leaves on the ground is because they went out and bought bags of leaves and just dumped them on the ground. I get this movie was made with literally no money.
No money, dude. I don't even know where that $300K went because there was no money.
Oh, the actors had to supply their own clothes for the movie because they couldn't afford a wardrobe budget.
Do you see this? Yeah, do you see my other note?
The $300,000 went to...
She went
John
to
Carpenter's
JCPenney
cocaine
to buy her John Carpenter's cocaine.
And that's that's not me calling him a drug addict. I'm saying it's the 70s, everybody was on cocaine.
Dang.
Stephen King was on cocaine in the 70s.
Stephen King was on all kinds of crazy shit. That poor man. He got hit by like 10 trucks. That poor man. Anyway. We already kind of talked about all this stuff. John Carpenter wrote the score on his piano. Good job. I know. Mask is the Star Trek thing. Got it. Everyone had their own clothes. Got it. Film was made in the spring. Got it. Very little blood. You already covered that shit. Yeah. Got it. Budget $300K. That's all I had to say about production notes.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's not really a production note, more just body shaming, but I'm a woman, so I can do it.
What is it?
Is it me, or do 70s boobs just look different?
They do. Don't they? Don't you think they do?
Yeah, I do. Like, I was looking at Linda's nipples for the quick, like, glimpses we get of them.
Yeah.
And they're just very fat. They're not big, but they're fat.
Like, also, everybody who is kind of in...
Like, I've always
a 70s movie has, like, really big boobs.
And I've always thought they just kind of look pointy.
They like porn star boobs, Sam. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of them. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it was the way the bras were back then, the way they wore their clothes. It could have been anything, you know?
And I know it's, like, a Family Guy joke that... Mm-hmm. Don't ask me what episode, but in an early episode of Family Guy, Stewie's just like, I don't know, it's just 70 boobs look different for some reason, and I just think about that every time.
They do. It's a good point, I guess.
I know that, and
I feel like I see too much boobs. I feel like this is the one kind of movie where there doesn't have to be literally any nudity, and you pull it off pretty well, and it can still be rated R.
I mean, they're having sex, so do people get naked
during sex?
They're
having sex, like, under the covers, Sam, which is, like, very bizarre. People don't really do that.
Yeah, but after you have sex, are you covering up your boobs immediately?
Of course.
Bullshit.
I'm just kidding.
So anyway. So suddenly you get all modest after he's been inside of you and need to cover up your shame.
You're already covered. That's why do you think people have sex in the dark, Sam? So you can't see. Because you don't want to see.
I'm not going to give the response repent in my head because, like I said, I am a virgin until marriage.
I have a purity ring. No, you do not.
Stormy, I've got to cover my fucking bases in case his mom listens.
Oh, I got you. But. Let's go over the kill count anyway. So the kills that Michael Myers does in the film are, like, kind of, like, iffy. I'm not too sure how many people he actually kills IRL. Like, in the beginning, we can count two people. So, like, his sister and his sister's boyfriend. Then at the asylum, he's gonna have to kill somebody in order to escape. But how many somebodies does he have to kill in order to escape? I don't know. He has to probably kill a hell of a lot of the people because when Sam rolls up, all the hospital, like, mental patients, they're out on the lawn. Mm-hmm. So he probably kills a lot of people. And I'm not sure how many people work at an asylum and man the gates. So I can, like, up this to, like, 20 people or some shit. So let's, like, go with that. So, like, that's 2 plus 20, 22. Then the auto body guy, where he gets the car and the jumpsuit, 23, 24, 25, which is Linda and Linda's boyfriend. Annie. Does he kill Annie's boyfriend, Paul?
No, Paul doesn't even show up. Just sitting at home waiting for Annie to come pick him up.
Oh, shit, you're right. Okay, so let's...
Which is really sad now that I think about it.
I know. He's like, wow, Annie never came. What happened?
One, he's grounded, and now he thinks his girlfriend doesn't like
him.
Fucking
blew him off. I know. So let's go. 22, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 27, including the dog. Estimate. That's an estimate. Which is also a scary thing, because I love counting the kills, but in this one, I really don't know how many people he kills, so...
Which is terrifying.
Very scary. How many was it? Oh, he didn't kill any of the inmates. I guess they didn't bother him.
Production note for Halloween, Curse of Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. I'm finding it very hard to believe that Tommy Doyle grows up to look like Paul Rudd.
That is him, isn't it? Goddamn.
Yeah, I think that's Paul Rudd's first movie.
Really?
Yeah. It was either that or Wet Hot American Summer, but one of those two movies was his first movie.
But it kind of rubs me the wrong way that it's Paul Rudd and, like, not somebody else. I wish it was just somebody else.
I mean, he wasn't Paul Rudd when he did the movie. He was just an actor looking for his first gig.
He's just a punk bitch when he plays Tommy. I didn't realize Tommy would grow up in that fashion and be, like, a punk bitch. But he is.
I know, right?
You know? It's just like, seriously.
It's like, I get it, you were almost killed when you were a child, but you didn't actually see anyone die.
Do you want to talk about some realistic aspects of the film? Because there's plenty of them, if we, like, think about it.
Horny babysitters.
Stalking, I was going to say, you know. The scary part, horny babysitters, or, like, not horny babysitters that are too busy.
Just leaving your children attended with any of these girls except Lori.
Well, like,
oh my God.
The thing is, like, you shouldn't have a babysitter that's, like, a high school student. That's, like, already a mistake. They should be,
like
a babysitter
them,
that's, like,
insults
like can't, don't you have to get, like,
forth at each other?
Certified to, like, be a babysitter these
this
days?
This is 1978. Kara.com didn't exist. Yeah, for my babysitting course, I had to get certified in CPR.
Wait, are you a babysitter certified?
I used to be when I was younger, not anymore. I used to be CPR certified.
Nice. I am not. But I'm certified to be around kids, because I'm a die tutor.
I think they should reevaluate that.
I'm allowed to be around kids, come on. Got my FBI, I got my prints done. We're good.
Okay.
Anyway.
I think between the two of us, if one of us were to kill someone, it would be you?
I don't think I would kill a kid.
You never know. I mean, I'm sure they didn't think Anakin would kill a bunch of younglings, but what happened to him?
He's another punk bitch on my list of punk bitches. Well, okay, so let's talk about stalking, Sam. How scary is it that she keeps seeing him?
It's pretty scary. I had a stalker once, like, not in real life, but online at least.
That's scary. That's still, that's like the same thing.
Did I ever tell you and Nicole about it?
I don't know. Tell me again. I might
remember. There is a black guy in Kenya named
Sam
Odie.
Yeah. Okay, totally.
And I friended him in my young naivety, and it got very creepy very fast. It was cute at first because he referred to me as his namesake, but then he would say shit like, I love you through your pictures, and...
Oh, God. What that means.
I finally unfriended him after, because he left me alone for the 3 months I was with my high school boyfriend, and then when he and I broke up and my relationship status went back to single, he started messaging me again.
Oh, God. And he was like, please bye.
Yeah, and he would ask me really creepy shit, like, who's Kelsey Carlston? And Kelsey's my friend from high school. I'm like, how do you know her? And
how do you know her?
Like, oh, I don't. Stop I just this. I just saw her in one of your pictures.
Oh, it's like,
and this Jessica girl seems very crazy. And it's like, oh, please stop.
Wow.
I never feared for my life. Like, in a lot of stalker situations, it was just creepy and uncomfortable.
I see.
And I think he was married, too.
Really? Oh, that just makes it all a whole new ball game.
I know. Shame on me for befriending a married guy on Facebook.
Damn you. You whore.
Really, it was all my fault.
Yes.
I should have known better.
Yeah. You whore. okay, let's talk about other realistic aspects of the film, other than stalking and babysitters in high school.
You know, that whole...
What do you think?
Did you ever see the movie Ted Bundy?
There's a movie just called Ted Bundy?
I think it's either called Bundy or Ted Bundy. There's a few of them that,
No, I've never seen a film about Ted Bundy.
At the end, there's a bunch of kids just saying, I'm Ted Bundy. And it's that concept that the signs of this psychotic behavior, like in Ted Bundy or Michael Myers, can be... You can see it in young children, but a lot of people don't recognize it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very real aspect of this movie, and we should watch our children more closely. Like, was Michael Myers killing small rodents?
Yeah, was he wetting the bed? Was he playing with fire? Who knows? Because we don't know. All we see is him kill.
With it, because Michael Myers is a lot scarier when you can't find any
relatableness. When did he address it? I know he killed the bullies.
Like, the first 40 minutes of the movie was about his childhood.
Yeah, I mean...
And showing how it was kind of the bullies that triggered him.
Does he kill little animals?
That's a good question.
I'm gonna have to rewatch it.
I don't think I've seen the Rob Zombie Halloween since it came out.
Really?
That was 10 years ago.
I watched it like two years ago and I forgot.
I've probably seen it since. I know he kills the bullies, and that's kind of, like, why he goes crazy, but... Yeah.
Yeah, some shit. Anyway. Yeah, well, they're on my list of like, Halloween movie purchases. Like, they're at the top of the list, because I just love
I need to start getting DVDs. I don't go to Walmart enough, and I like to go to Walmart and rummage through
the
DVD. The $5. $5. Yeah, you find a lot of horror gems in those.
Oh, yeah.
Before Kmart closed down here, they had a whole, like, B-movie $5 bin. B-horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Bin.
That's gold.
Just filled with, like, Asylum knockoffs in it. I wanted all of them, but I decided to spend my money on food instead.
Yeah, well, that's always a good idea.
But, you know, if you choose to donate to this podcast, our PayPal link is on the website at BillHorrorShow.com. Don't force me to make these decisions anymore.
Yeah, if you'd like to make donations, we can do more shows and do more fun stuff. So if you like our stuff, give us some money.
Yeah.
Everybody's just a poor, we're just like poor students.
We can't use that anymore. I got my diploma today.
I didn't get mine yet.
Okay, Stormy's a poor student. Send her money.
We need to set up the Amazon wish list thing.
Oh my god, we should.
I think we're gonna have to do that. Like, I'm gonna put that on my to-do list.
Yes.
And like add like shit to it.
Set it up
like
through
a shock collar. I'll set it up.
Set it up through the Real Horror Show Gmail. I can give you the login information if you lost it.
All right. Okay.
I'll give it to you right now on air.
Let me write down set up Amazon wish list. Okay.
All right, should we get on with the outro?
Yeah, I suppose we should. I mean, overall, everybody should give this movie a fucking A+, because it is the horror movie be-all, end-all.
Right. I mean, whether or not you think it holds up well after, holy fuck, 40 years?
It has, and it is the paramount, like, film on a pedestal that just kind of trickles down, and you see just, like, little, you know, facets of it in every horror movie that there is now, you know. It's the inspiration for
probably
everything that came
the
after.
Most iconic theme in horror movies next to the Hitchcock. R.I.P. headphone listeners.
Right. Turn down volume.
Too late. Right. Too late.
Too late. Anyway.
Anyway, I guess I'll do the outro this week.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
You did it for last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever I upload hashtag horror.
Yeah, just go for it.
Okay. Real Horror Show is created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. What did we learn this week?
We learned that Ryan Murphy isn't good at making TV shows for more than 3 seasons.
We learned you can have an effective horror movie without buckets of blood.
And incest.
Yes.
Until, like, the 17th sequel rolls around, then it all comes to the surface after that.
Yes. All right.
All right. Like, keep going.
Like what you hear? You can find Real Horror Show on SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear? Follow us on Twitter at horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers on the internet? Leave us a comment and let us know. Or check out the contribute page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We post written reviews whenever we feel like it.
Raw's coming up next. I'm doing it tonight, Sam. I swear to God. It'll be up soon.
Okay. You know, we did 3 reviews in a row last week, so I think we can go on hiatus for 3 months again.
At least let me finish Raw, and then, like, it'll be on a hiatus until I find another movie that I want to watch.
Keep your eyes open for the next written review. I'm not sure what that'll be.
It's going to be Raw, goddammit.
Yeah, but by the time this comes out, what will it be?
I don't know.
All right.
It's always a surprise. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry I'm shouting.
It's
Jesus
fine.
Christ.
Whatever that review's going to be, it's going to be a doozy.
It's going to be a doozy.
In other pertinent news, I saw Bowling for Soup and met them on Thursday. And it was awesome.
Another pertinent news, happy Halloween to all y'all.
Stay safe.
Yeah, stay
safe. Remember to call an Uber if you're drinking.
And don't forget, everybody deserves candy on Halloween.
Yeah.
Don't just give it to little kids. We want candy, too.
Now that I think about it, don't drink, don't do drugs, and don't have sex on Halloween because
you will
die.
And don't say I'll be right back because you won't be right back.
You will die.
You will die. Excuse me. Yeah, don't even think about doing those things.
You will get chlamydia, and you will die.
You will get chlamydia, and die. Wow.
Okay.
I'll fuck you
up. Let's end this. We're getting silly.
Okay. Enough silliness.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Thank you. Fuck off, and have a swell evening.
All right. Deuces.
Bye.
Bye.